Go ahead. Make my day.
It's not a tumor.
Here's looking at you, kid.
I'm ready for my close-up.
Do not go in there. Woo!
Happy Friday, CGIMers. Tony Stabile here from the Rowdy Wrestling Podcast for another edition of your Cinema Smackdown. This week, in light of the news of the recent naming, christening, bequeathing of the latest Marvel Sony movie, Spider-Man has gotten a full title called Spider-Man Homecoming, and what I hope is more than just a literal meaning in the sense that Spider-Man has finally come home to the Marvel Universe and will be joining Captain America and Iron Man in the latest Marvel movie, Captain America Civil War. He'll also be getting his own reboot. Yes, I know, again, the third new line of Spider-Man movies in under 20 years. My brain hurts from that, but my heart is in love for the fact that Marvel has stepped in. They've got some sort of joint black magic deal where they both get to enjoy in helping making this movie. So Spider-Man and Marvel have named it Spider-Man Homecoming. And in light of that, I've decided to look back at an older Spider-Man movie not that long ago, July the 3rd, 2012. The Amazing Spider-Man, the second imagining of the Spider-Man story, told by the eyes of Mark Webb and those fools over at Sony, starring Andrew Garfield, Emma Stone, Dennis Leary, Martin Sheen, and old Sally Field, who just wanted nothing to do with this movie. This is a 100% prime reboot of the original Sam Raimi films. What I can tell you straight up off the bat is I prefer this Amazing Spider-Man. This was my favorite of the five Spider-Man movies we've gotten since the year 2002, I believe. The Amazing Spider-Man follows Peter Parker as an average teen with a confusing past, just trying to come to terms with who he is before being blessed with superpowers. Powers he doesn't quite know how to handle until the death of his Uncle Ben. If that's a spoiler for you, where the heck have you been? This sets him on the right direction, and while he successfully seduces the police chief's daughter, Gwen Stacy, he then has to deal with the big baddie of the movie, the Lizard. What is good about this movie? Well, a couple of things, to be honest, and it's very surprising, but the acting. Yup. When you let good actors do their job, they'll act their asses off for you. And Andrew Garfield, for a while there in the early 2010s, looked like he was going to be such a huge rising star. Where is he right now? I have no idea. But you can rest assured that what he does is very, very good. I mean, Sheen, in the short period of time that he's there, lets us know why he was the president of the United States. Another big plus for this movie is the action. Those fight scenes were wicked. You had a beautiful amount of fluid motion without a shaky camera that would make you sick. Also, I know that Mark Webb decided to make this Spider-Man more clumsy than in the past, which I feel made it more, and it's dumb to be said, but realistic. And so that was a lot of fun. Also, what I did enjoy, which was a huge bonus compared to the third act, but the definitive ending of this movie. This was a true Spider-Man moment where he's faced with pseudo defeat after a victory and sits there, and you could tell he's bummed, but he's also just a jerk deep down inside and is not going to let that really take him down. Now, what didn't work in this movie? Well, the script, or at least the editing and post-production, as the pacing of the movie gets a little wonky at times. The direction the movie goes feels like either it should have been about 4 hours long and they just decided to chop it down, a la Batman versus Superman, but that certainly really hurts. Another thing, and this is minor spoilers to the actual movie if you haven't seen it yet, but those tiny lizards, yes, New York City has a bunch of tiny lizards roaming around as if they were rats. That's kind of weird. Another thing for this is, as beautiful as Spider-Man looked in the movie, the main villain, the Lizard, there was just something a little weird about him that he couldn't piece together. And finally, as I mentioned, and what did work for the ending, everything of the third act leading up to it was just abhorrent. It felt like a train wreck of a movie. The only thing that did save the third act was the fantastic fight scenes. Now, the lowdown for The Amazing Spider-Man is that this is Spider-Man. At its base, there's a great story with an amazingly cool superhero and some damn fine actors. It won't make your brain hurt with complicated stories or churn your stomach like the last King Kong film. What it'll do is entertain you for 136 minutes. It's well worth your time on a night in with your lovely lass or a bunch of bros just nerding out. And there you have it. I'm Tony Stabile from the Rowdy Wrestling Podcast, which you can check out every week, every Thursday, over at tonystabile.com and on iTunes. Have yourselves an awesome weekend and a great night of the movies.